Hi, everybody. Welcome. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Journey to Success Radio Network. My name is Malcolm Anderson, and I'm your host for today's show, which is part of the Activity Compass series. This is a radio show that presents people's journeys to success through healthy, active living. I'm interviewing amazing people and active living experts and sharing stories and advice to help you and your families live more active, healthier lives. The message with every show is one of inspiration. Inspire and be inspired as we talk to people from around the world who will convince you that anything is possible if you want to change how you live or if you want to make a difference in other people's lives, or maybe you want to do both. For my part, I've written a few books on running and have spent many years at Queen's University in Canada conducting research and evaluation on health services. I've also developed an Activity Compass, which is a program that anyone can follow if they want to lead more active and healthier lives. I'm also the founder of Run for Tomorrow, which is a relay run that will run around the world in 2014 to raise awareness about the importance of physical activity and healthy living. My guest today, though, is Lauren Giorno, who is the author of Change for Good, The 10 Essentials for Food, Fitness, and the Good Life. Lauren's also a holistic nutritionist, trainer, and wellness coach. Lauren's had nearly 15 years of professional experience with her practice that provides a whole life approach to wellness based on relevant cutting-edge research and information. She brings a unique perspective to her clients as a result of her training and work in identity personality mapping with an international company and leader in this area. Lauren is able to understand what drives her clients' habits and responses, and thereby able to create customized results-oriented programs that not only match her clients' goals and personalities, but ensure the best possible compliance and results, and all the while educating and empowering her clients so that they can reach their true potential. Lauren's a highly sought-after keynote speaker for hundreds of public and private events across Canada, and is a frequent guest on both television and radio as an expert on the subjects of fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle. She's also a regular columnist for the iRun magazine in Canada and has written for and been featured in numerous national publications. Lauren's also professionally affiliated with a select group of leading sports and health wellness facilities in Toronto. So welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thanks, Malcolm. I'm so excited to be on the show. This is going to be fun.
It's great to have you. We've got a lot to talk about, and I don't know if we're going to be able to do it all in the 40 minutes that we have, but we may as well get going. And rather than me talking all the time, maybe you could just start off and tell us a bit about yourself and how you got involved in the work that you do.
Sure. So I grew up in South Africa, and I was a competitive tennis player for about 10 years, always involved in sports and fitness. So, you know, that's just been a part of my lifestyle since I was a kid, and so just always had a passion for helping people be active, for being active. And what happened was I developed an eating disorder when I was about 18 years old, which spanned about 20 years that I struggled with it. So that obviously had a huge impact on my life, and you know, just getting over that and learning what I learned in the process. And professionally, I started out with doing a kinesiology program and working as a personal trainer, but realized very quickly that nutrition was a huge part of the results that people were getting or not getting. And also realized that it was one thing to give someone, you know, the perfect fitness program or nutrition program, but if they weren't in the right place mentally, it wasn't going to happen. And so that's when I went back and I studied the psychology and the personality mapping, just to better be able to understand people and what their challenges are and what makes them, you know, follow certain habits but not others, so that I could just customize and personalize what I was doing with them much more effectively. And so that's what I do now. And I do a lot of corporate work and going into companies, running programs, doing workshops, all along the lines of helping people to identify what their challenges are, what they want to change, and how they can do that.
Wow. So you've consulted with hundreds of clients, people and businesses, organizations about food and health and wellness, fitness, and so on. What would you say are the most common challenges people are facing these days?
I would say that there's a lot of misinformation or misleading information or perceptions that are out there. And so I think a lot of times people don't understand what it's truly going to take to make the changes that they're looking to make, particularly around improving their fitness, around weight management. And so just helping them get a clearer, more real perspective of how that can look and how it's going to happen. It's not an overnight quick fix situation. And then, of course, the challenge for almost everyone is time, right? Everyone's got so much on their plate, doing so many things, juggling so many things, that the one thing that comes up all the time is, no pun intended, I don't have the time. So those are probably the two big things.
Yeah, very interesting. Misinformation and misunderstandings, different perceptions just on what foods people should be eating and what not to be eating. Are there any particular reasons for this? Would you consider that the internet is part of the reason for it, or is just there's not really good sources of information that people know to go to?
I think people don't know the good sources to go to. I think people are also still looking for that quick fix. So anything that seems to give that promise of a quick, easy fix, people are going to go towards that. But 9 times out of 10, at the end of the day, they're going to find out it doesn't work or it's not sustainable, and they end up back at square one. So what I really try and have my clients understand is that generally you didn't get to the state that you're in overnight. It's probably decades of lack of attention to your health, and so you can't expect it to change in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just helping them gain a realistic perspective of the time and what's involved in getting healthy.
So with you have a Change for Good program.
Right.
How does it work? What kind of advice are you telling people?
So basically my Change for Good program has evolved over the 10 years, 15 years that I've been in the industry of helping people to create better habits around health and wellness. And for me, the measure of success is not in someone losing weight. It's whether in a year's time or 2 years' time they've managed to sustain and maintain those results. So the Change for Good program is what it says. It's a change for good. So you're not falling back. You're not slipping back. Obviously, we're all going to have minor setbacks, but ultimately you're going to stay ahead of where you were. And it's a process, it's a lifestyle change, it's not a quick fix. But what my clients and whoever has started on that program love is that it puts the individual in control. So I'm not telling you specifically what you have to have for breakfast, what type of workout you have to have or do, what you have to have for dinner. But I'm giving you a template of the fundamental things that you need to be doing, and then within that, guidelines of choices that you can make. So what that means is that you can do it anywhere, anytime. So whether you're home, traveling, on vacation, it doesn't matter. You can follow the principles that are outlined in the program because it's not relying it's just based on real natural food and fitness.
Yeah. So when you talk about underlying principles, what can you give us a sense of what those principles are?
For sure. So basically, the four pillars of change for good are changing your mind, first of all. So, and that addresses you know, people's attitude, the way they think about things, the way they see things, and how they are dealing with things that are thrown at them in their lives. Because overall, if you're not in a good headspace, then everything else is going to be difficult. So that's right. The first pillar is changing your mind. The second is then identifying and changing the behaviors that need to be changed. And that's where you really need to look at what are the things that are throwing you off, what are the things that are holding you back, and how can you change those things. And only then look at the second two pillars, which are changing your nutrition and changing your fitness. So that's the broad foundation on which the program is built. And then within that, I've developed 10 principles that, as I said, are transportable, flexible, put you in control. And if you can adhere to these principles, then you can't not get results.
Yeah, I love
that. I don't
know
if you want me to go over
results.
Very quickly what the principles are.
Yes.
Sure. So the first one is living with purpose. And that's, identifying what you're doing, why you're doing it, how you're doing, what your attitude is to it, how you can change that, how you can improve that. So really dealing with the whole, like, where's your head? The second principle is setting goals and keeping a journal. So I think it's so important for us to be setting goals, not just from a nutrition and fitness perspective, but life goals, relationship goals, financial goals. Because if you don't have goals, then where are you moving towards? And that's when people, complain, oh, they're stuck in a rut, they've hit a plateau. Well, it's because they don't have anywhere that they're aiming to get. And then part of that is, once you set your goals, is to keep a journal or to track them or record them in some way or another. Because there is so much research that shows that people that, A, just write down their goals, first of all, and then secondly, keep track of the progress they're making, are way more successful in achieving results and sustaining those results. And I know even for myself, like, I am constantly setting goals for myself, some big, some small. I keep a journal. I keep a food journal, an exercise journal. I started doing a gratitude journal, which has been just the most amazing thing. So that's the second principle, is setting goals and keeping a journal. And then the third, which I think is so important, is identifying barriers and how you can overcome them. So I think so many times people are going through the motions and just going through each day without, much thought to what's happening. And if we can rather live more proactively and anticipate as much as possible what challenges we're going to face, where obstacles are going to come up, and think of solutions before we're in that situation, where it's harder to think clearly and act rationally, then we're going to set ourselves up for success much more easily. So, it's as simple as if you are on a running program and you're training for whatever, 10K, half marathon, whatever it is, and you see for the next week there's going to be torrential rain. So if you see that ahead of time, you can plan ahead. You can, work out at a gym. You can cycle. You can do indoor spinning classes. But it's just trying to be proactive and catch things ahead of time. So that's the third principle. And then it gets into the nutrition. So the fifth principle is eating well, meaning eating lean protein, natural carbohydrates, healthy fats at each meal. So making sure that every meal has those macronutrients in it. Because the reality is, physiologically, your body needs those nutrients. It needs protein, it needs fat, and it needs some type of carbohydrate. Those carbohydrates are going to look different for everyone based on their specific health issues, concerns, goals, etc. But at the end of the day, you need carbohydrates. So it doesn't have to come from bread and pasta and rice. But it can come from fruit, from vegetables, from beans. You know, there are different ways that you can get those nutrients in your diet, and that's where the individualization would come in. And then the fifth principle is eating regularly and eating nutrient-dense meals. So I generally say to my clients that you need to eat between every 3 to 5 hours, and that range is going to be dependent on your goals, on how active you are, on any health conditions that you may have. So, but at the least, everyone should be having 3 meals a day. And then it comes to the quality of the nutrients that you're having. And it's kind of interesting because I actually just saw a new client this morning, and she goes, I'm counting my calories. I know I'm not going over my calories, and I'm still not losing weight. And that's another big misconception that people have, is that calories in, calories out. And it doesn't matter where the calories come from as long as you stick within your calorie range. But the reality is different calories or different nutrients create a different physiological and hormonal response in your body. And so the quality of what you're eating is going to be important. So making sure that you're eating regular meals at least, and that it's nutrient dense. And then the sixth principle is reading food labels. So ideally, we want people buying just natural, real food as much as possible that really shouldn't have any labels on it. But the reality is we are going to buy some packaged goods, and you can get some very nutritious packaged food. But being able to read the labels so that you know what you're putting in your body, because food marketing can be extremely deceiving and make us think that we're buying something healthy when really it's not. And then the seventh principle is managing food portions. And I think in North America, this has become a huge issue, and hence that we have this obesity problem, because everything has become supersized, portions are bigger, and not only food portions are bigger, plates are bigger, glasses are bigger, utensils are bigger, everything's bigger. So, you know, hence we're bigger, we're moving less, so it's not rocket science to figure out how that's going to end up. So, again, you can eat the most perfect diet. It can be natural, local, organic, homegrown, seasonal, you know, but if you're eating too much of even that perfect food, it's going to be problematic. So just being aware of portions, paying attention to that. And then principle 8 is the one that people love the most, I think, and that's about moderation. And in that, we are never going to eat perfectly all the time, and really what's the fun in that? Like, we all want to go out and have our cake sometimes or whatever it is that we enjoy. And that's okay if you're doing that only part of the time. So I have the 90-10 rule with my clients and with the program, and that 90% of the time you need to be doing what you should be doing, eating the way you should be, exercising the way you should be, thinking the way you should be, which is hard. And then 10% of the time, doesn't matter what you do. You can go and have your cake, your wine, take a day off. Whatever it is, it's not going to impact the overall results. But the problem is that the majority of the population are maybe doing what they should be doing, maybe 20-30% of the time. And again, it's no wonder that the state of our health is the way that it is. And then principle 9 is about drinking enough water. So again, nothing new, but so important. And in that chapter, I also go into supplementation and just detoxing and cleansing and just taking your nutrition and your health to a bit of a higher level. And then the last chapter is about exercising, right? Making sure that you're active ideally every day in some way or another. And that doesn't mean you have to be in the gym. It could be playing with your kids. It could be going for a walk, taking a hike, whatever it is, you dancing, whatever it is that you enjoy, but just being active. And, you know, there was an article in the Globe and Mail a couple of months ago, or not even months, maybe a few weeks ago, and basically the essence of the article was that sitting has become the new smoking, meaning that it is now recognized that being inactive is as dangerous to our health as smoking.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are not, you know, realizing that, or they realize it, but they're not doing anything about it. And maybe because they don't know what to do, they overwhelmed. But, you know, the least you can do is get up and go walking. And part of that whole issue of being inactive, there was another study that came out, and I'm sure you've seen it, Malcolm, where they showed that even if you are incredibly fit and you exercise intensely every day, if you still have prolonged periods of where you are sitting at a desk, it is extremely detrimental to your health. So I could be in the most amazing shape physically, and I could be going to the gym every night, training like a maniac for an hour, coming out of there sweating and exhausted and burning tons of calories and got my heart rate up. But if I was sitting for 8 hours during the day before that, that is going to be more detrimental to my health. So the 10th principle is just about finding ways to get active, get moving, and make sure you do something every day. So that's pretty much the program in a nutshell.
Yeah, and
an organic nutshell, unroasted.
That's right, unsalted. And you know, that's a great kind of summary to your program and also to your book. And I should add, it's one of the best books I've ever seen on the subject matter, and it's really well laid out and makes a lot of sense. It's great, Lauren. And I just want to come back to a couple of things that you mentioned there. Really curious about the gratitude journal, I think you called it. I wonder if you can elaborate on what that is.
So it's interesting. In my personal journey of, and honestly, like, I think we will always be on a journey. I don't think you ever get there. And in fact, I was at a conference over the summer, and Wayne Dyer, I'm sure most people have heard of him, was the speaker, and he said, the day that he's got it is the day that he dies, because there's always something for you to learn, always something for you to do more. So personally, right, in my journey, the hardest thing and the last thing that I've been able to start doing is meditating and that whole spiritual component, taking it to another level. I've always been a very spiritual person, but I would say in the last year I've got in touch with it in a way that I never have been able to before. And I guess that's part of the journey, is that, you know, at some point you're either ready for it or you're not. And I guess I got to the point where I was really ready to embrace that and step my game up in that area. And one of the things that I started doing most recently is a gratitude journal. And I do it every day. And I actually found the coolest app, and it's a gratitude journal app. And basically, it just gives you the opportunity to write down things that you're grateful for that day. Because I think when you are in the space of being grateful, it's very hard to not be optimistic, to not be happier, to not be more positive about your life and what's happening. And the problem is I think most people are always looking at what they don't have, what's wrong, what's missing. And if you flip that around, it just shifts your energy on a cellular level. And so anyhow, so I found this cool app, and you can actually set a timer on it. And I know how we all, or not all, but many of us are so attached to our mobile devices. And every time it bings or it rings, like, we instantly grab it to see what it is, right? So with this app, you can set a timer. And so I've set mine for 8 o'clock every night. And it's amazing. I've been using it for so long, and it still brings a smile to my face. Like, at 8 o'clock, the phone beeps. And I have my first reaction, oh, who's texting me, who's messaging me? And what pops up on my screen is What are you grateful for today? And that's the journal reminding you to do your journal. And just even seeing that message literally puts a smile on my face, and my energy shifts. So that's part of that whole first pillar of change for good is attitude and mental health and, you know, doing things like this to help you in that area.
That's really interesting, because I know for myself a few years ago I was off to a conference in Utah, and I was in the hotel room. It hadn't been a great trip to get over there. There'd been lots of things going wrong, and for some reason I was lying in bed thinking about all the things that were going wrong, and it just occurred to me what actually did go right today, and just surprised me, almost threw me out of the bed spontaneously, was how many good things had actually happened during the day. And it just changed my whole mindset, and it was such a impact on me that I started doing that quite regularly, and it just would be turning the days around, because I realized that there were a lot of things I needed to be grateful for, a lot of things that had been good during the day. But what tends to happen, I think this is partly human nature, is we tend to focus on the negative. And we forget about all the good things. We just take those for granted. So when you talk about a gratitude journal, I can see that makes a lot of sense for really sort of putting your own life into perspective, and I guess sort of more into balance.
Yeah. And I think just on that whole note, not to get us off track, but one of the other things that I've really, embraced never ever before in my life in the last, year, it's the appreciation that everything that happens to you, there's a good reason it's happening. And if you can just be open enough to learning from it, oh my gosh, how different your life can be. So yeah, bad things are going to happen, challenging things are going to happen. But if you look at it as, why is this happening? What can I learn from it? How can this make me stronger, smarter going forward? It doesn't seem so bad anymore.
That's right.
On the other hand, it also makes you grateful that, oh my gosh, it could have been so much worse. You know? So those are all, that's all the stuff that I kind of try and address in that first, with that first pillar of change for good.
Yeah, really important. And it's the metaphor of the journey is a great one in this regard. So if I wanted you to be my coach, you know, get me fit and healthy and thinking better about what I'm doing and what I need to do, how do we set that up, and how would we be communicating with one another? Can you take me through those steps?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I work with people, literally, I've got clients in South Africa, I've got some clients in Australia, in the States, across Canada. So the first thing is that it doesn't have to be in person. I work with clients over Skype, phone, email. And in fact, even some of my clients in Toronto, just because of traffic and location and whatever, I don't actually meet with them in person. So it can be done through all these other ways of communicating. But essentially, the first thing I do is I take someone through an extensive assessment, and I have a form that I have them fill out. So I can see where they're coming from, where they're at, where they want to go, understand their lifestyle, try and get an understanding of their personality so I know better what's going to work for them and what's not in how I deliver the program to them, because everyone receives information differently. So the first is just going through that really thorough assessment and looking at every aspect of a person's lifestyle, their nutrition, their sleep, their stress management, their family life, their work life, you know, all those things. And then identifying where they want to get to, and what are they prepared to do to get there? How much time do they have to put into it? How many changes are they prepared to make? Some people come in and they go, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. And then the other clients just say, you know what, I want to get there, but I'm not prepared to do X, Y, and Z. And then that's fine. I will work around those parameters, but then I'm also very realistic with them and say, that's fine. You know, it's going to take longer, it's going to be slower, whatever. And then once they've got their program, it's just a matter of having touch points And how regular those are depend on the person. It could be every week. It could be every month. It depends on how easily they get on board and the challenges and things that come up. And then every 3 months at least, reassessing where they're at, how close they are to where they want to be. Sometimes their goals change. Sometimes things come up and they go in a different direction. So it's just constantly reevaluating and making sure that we're doing everything to get them where they truly want to be.
So pretty straightforward process in a way, and just really being able to personalize it for your clients is going to make a huge difference, I would imagine, to make it doable for them. So not a cookie cutter approach for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely not a cookie cutter. One size fits no one.
That, exactly. Even the super size.
Absolutely.
So what about the businesses, the corporations that you work with? What are they wanting you to do for them these days? If I'm the CEO of a business and wanted you to come and present to my staff, how would that work?
So companies are realizing now that the healthier and happier their employees are, the more productive they're going to be and better it's going to be for everyone. So, again, it varies. There's some companies where I go in, say, 4 times a year and I'll do like a lunch and learn, type workshop where it's an hour, hour and a half. And I'll do that a couple times a year. There's some companies where I'm going, I'll run the Change for Good program at the company. So I'm there for 10 consecutive weeks and each week we're working on a different principle. And within those 10 weeks, I'm monitoring their weight, I'm monitoring measurements, so it's for those who want to lose weight, there's that component to it as well. And then there's a lot of companies are working with different software programs, and I actually consult for one of these companies called Sprout, where they have a software program that's web-based, where employees are able to track everything they're doing, their fitness, their nutrition, their feel-good stuff, like their volunteering, meditating, you know, like literally everything can be tracked. And then there's a social stream where they can see what other people in their company are doing. There's challenges where they can challenge each other's team challenges, department challenges. So just a way to get more people engaged in a fun way and to fit it in within the context of the day. So that's pretty much the corporate angle that I'm working from.
So you've been in touch with hundreds of people and organizations, as we mentioned. So you've had a lot of experience with a lot of people over the years. What's been the most satisfying part of your work?
Oh, my gosh. The emails that I get, just seeing people achieve their results, just seeing people change and how happy they are and how it just creates a shift in their life. It's just, oh my gosh, it's just so rewarding.
And it probably is sort of a great motivator for you to get up in the morning and keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. It makes it all the hard days, when there are ones, totally worthwhile. for sure.
And with all that, all the work that you've done with people, what would you say are the most common challenges you've faced when working with clients?
I think unrealistic expectations. And I really think that comes from a lot of the media and the adverts that they see, 10 minutes a day and you'll get like a six-pack, you know, that kind of thing. Lose 30 pounds in 30 days, you know, it just creates unrealistic expectations for people, and they don't understand, A, that it's not going to happen overnight, and B, you can't get there and then go back to your old habits. This is a lifestyle change. You need to probably do this forever. But that doesn't mean it can't be fun and it has to be a slog. But it's just, I think, unrealistic expectations.
And I think that's a key component of what it is that you're doing, is this notion that it's a, as you point out, it's changed for good. It's not just, you know, 60 days and you're a new person and good luck with that. But what
right.
I think you're setting up is some sort of permanency, that this is your own life, and if you don't make some changes, then you could be facing something we haven't talked about today, is some serious chronic illnesses and diseases that may emerge as a result of not making a change.
Absolutely.
And so are there any particular tricks, if that's the right word, to maintain this over the longer term?
My biggest belief and approach is, don't start something that you're not going to be able to sustain in the long term. So whatever you do, make sure that it's something that you can sustain in the long term. It's different if you decide you want to do a marathon and you only want to do one marathon ever in your life. It's on your bucket list and you train for that and you do it and it's done. But hopefully when it's done, you're not going to stop exercising completely. So over that period of training for a specific event, you may be a little bit more intense about it, but you're still going to continue exercising afterwards. So it's finding a way of eating, a way of living, a way of being active that you can keep doing for as long as you live and wherever you are. So I think
that's really... No, sorry, go on, Lauren.
No, I was just going to say, I think for me, that's the biggest thing. So when I see people coming with these quick fixes and whatever, you know, it's different if you just want to boost. Like, for example, I'm starting a 30-day challenge this coming Monday. So I want to ramp up my new, you know, I want to ramp up what I'm doing, but it's a ramp up. I'm going to just intensify things for 30 days. But when the 30 days is done, what I'm going back to is still amazing health. I'm not going to do it for 30 days and then start living on fast food.
And I think you've touched on something really important. There is the interrelationship between exercise and fitness and healthy foods. And the whole thing is integrated. So, and I know from my own experience, when you're training and you're out running and you might be losing weight, what also happens is that losing weight may just be a byproduct, but it's because you feel feeling healthier, you want to eat better, and you take more notice of what you're eating, and then you start looking at yourself and say, oh my goodness, what happened? And it's an amazing sort of integration of everything going on, and so you just feel better, you got more bounce and so on.
For sure. Absolutely.
So what would you say if you were to give three pieces of advice to anyone listening who wants to change for the better, change for good, what would those three pieces of advice be?
Set realistic goals. Well, I guess first of all, identify where you feel that you are struggling. Like, what are the areas, what are the things that that are struggling or creating what you don't want in your life? And then set realistic goals around where you want to get, and have a long-term strategy of how you're going to do that. And then, I hate to say the biggest thing because I think everything's important, but
yes. Be
consistent in your efforts to get there. So my whole thing is, you don't need to be perfect every day, but you need to be consistent in the good things that you're doing.
Yes.
So it's no use training like a maniac for 3 days, going to the gym for 2 hours, and then you don't go for 2 weeks. And then you go for 4 days, and you don't go for 2 weeks. You're just going to stay where you are. So if you want to get a shift, you need to rather be less is sometimes more, put it that way.
Right.
To keep you consistent.
Yeah, consistent and persistent and being patient, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Good point.
And Lauren, I also know we haven't talked about this, and maybe you could spend a couple of minutes. We've just got a couple of minutes left here, but you're a member of a newly formed non-profit organization. I believe it's the National Initiative for Eating Disorders.
And
the mission of that initiative is to raise awareness and promote education about eating disorders. I'm wondering if you could talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Having had an eating disorder for, like, I don't know, 20, 25 years myself, obviously that's something that is close to my heart. And when I was asked to be part of the founding committee for this nonprofit, I jumped in because eating disorders are so misunderstood. They are absolutely fatal. They have the highest mortality rate of all mental disease beyond anything. And people just don't understand it. And there's not enough resources, there's not enough treatment, there's not the right treatment, there's not enough qualified people to deal with it. So we started this organization about a year and a half ago. And, yeah, our goal is to educate and create awareness at all levels, from professionals, doctors, frontline workers, parents, teachers, everyone. And, you know, we've managed to get the government involved. We've had a day in Ottawa where we met with over 30 senators and MPs. We have been the catalyst to form a national foundation. We actually have a meeting next week where we have representatives from every province in Canada coming to Toronto to join together to form a national foundation. Wow. We've got a lobby day in Queen's Park early next year. So we are really working to drive the way eating disorders are seen and treatment and facilities, etc.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's really growing. That's terrific. So we probably should have you back on the show at some point in the next few months just to talk about where you've gone with progress on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
Yeah, okay. Now, just before we finish the show, we don't have much time, but how do people get in touch with you, Lauren? I know you've got a website, you've got a book. What's the best way of finding out more about you and Change for Good?
So either my website, which is jorno.com,
and on Jorno my website. Sorry, Jorno is J-A-W-N-O, correct?
Yes. So my website, and on that website, there's a link to the website for my book. There's a link to my Facebook page. I'm pretty active on Facebook, so people can like my page. I've got downloads and stuff through my Facebook page all around behavior change, and that people can download. There's no charge or anything for it. And just chat with me and connect with me on Facebook is probably the most interactive way. But to just get generally more information, my website has pretty much everything on there.
Okay. Well, that's great. You know, we talked for about 40 minutes, but I know there's a lot more that you could have talked. So hopefully people are able to go to your website and find out some more. I also know that you've got some great downloadable PDFs that people can take away and they can order your books. So. I think that's tremendous, and I really appreciate you coming on the show today, Lauren. And
thank you
we'll
so
definitely
much.
Have you back.
It was awesome. I'd love to. Thank you.
Okay, great. So thanks, everyone, for listening today, and thanks for being part of the Journey to Success Radio Network. Thanks to Lauren, and hopefully you can follow up with Lauren and don't forget that you can get a downloadable copy of this interview and pass it around your internet fellows, your networks and Facebook, and the more that can listen to this, the better. So thanks, everyone, and thanks again, Lauren. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Malcolm.
Okay, goodbye.